Welcome to Creative Reboot, the ultimate podcast for creative souls, small business owners, side hustlers, and dream chasers.
I'm Carla Watkins, brand photographer for colourful magical weirdos, visual magic maker, mermaid, and definitely a multipod.
And I'm Sarah Waite, a creative copywriter and brand photographer for feisty female business owners and an aspiring author.
Welcome back, guys. We have got the most fabulous human today. So Sam and I met some time ago, but Samantha Tomatos is a... she's a coach. I feel like she's so much more than just a coach. She's welcome, Sam. And do you know what? I'm going to say, let's you introduce yourself because you will do a better job than me. But it's wonderful to have you here. And
yes,
I'm going to hand the mic to you.
Okay. Right. Well, yes. Hi, I'm Samantha Tomatos. The best way I can sum up what I do is I make work better.
Ooh, I like
that. Yeah, we like that. We're both
excellent.
Nodding, forgetting
and
we're not on video.
That can look like a variety of things. It can look like coaching, where I work with people, particularly on the career side, to help them, you know, figure out what it is they want to do and how they're going to do it. I work with a lot of people with ADHD, because I myself have ADHD, and a lot of people with that condition often are a little bit lost, as I was before I realised I had it and did a whole load of work in that area. Or it could look like working with companies themselves to have more of a, I like to call it making work more human friendly. Because, so my background is actually in zoology and research, and I come at a lot of problems, particularly with like well-being, as like, well, how do we come at that from an animal perspective? Say you had an animal in a zoo, what you do is you try and make it an enclosure where it can perform as many of its natural behaviors as possible. And so I kind of go, well, why don't we do that with people? Like, why?
That's
why...
really interesting. Why has no one else considered this? Because there's so many things I look at in life, and I'm like, well, we wouldn't do that with an animal, so why do we do that with a human being?
Exactly.
And actually, if we did do it to an animal, we'd probably be in quite a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's just kind of blown my mind a little bit, because it's just that really simple thing.
Sarah's having a light bulb face. I'm so excited. It's her turn to make a ridiculous face. No, when Sam wrote and said she wanted to be on the podcast, Sarah and I just got very excited. We were like, oh my God, have you seen what she's written? Look, it's about humans and evolution. And it's very, we had a lot of shrieky excitedness. We will try and keep it less shrieky for this. My first question then is how... as logical as what you've just said sounds, how did you make the jump from animals to humans? Like, what were you equally interested in both, or did it sort of come about? Like, how did that jump happen?
Firstly, for me, it was all animals, and that's all I cared about growing up. That's all I was interested in. I just wanted to go to the zoo or go to an aquarium or go out into nature. That's all I wanted to do. Like, if we ever went on holiday, I'd be like, is there a zoo? Is there an aquarium? And we'd have to go to like the zoo and stuff, because my mum was equally adoring of animals, so that's fine. And my sister used to claim that she wasn't, but she loved them really. But she was just trying to be, you know, that typical sister going, I don't want to do that. But there we go, you know, but it's fine. We went and did history stuff for her, and then I used to complain about having to go and do boring history stuff. So there you go. But we were twins, and it was just my mum. So my mum would be like, right, we've done your thing now. We're doing your sister's thing. So it was all animals for me. But then while I was at university and I was doing like animal behaviour and things in my zoology degree, I remember even saying at the time, what this has actually done for me is really helped me understand human behaviour, because we're all the same. You know, like there are obviously differences between the species, but at the end of the day, we generally all want the same stuff, and a lot of the behaviour patterns are very similar. And I was just really interested in how much it made me think about human behaviour. Now, I then went into work in research and in laboratories, didn't really think too much more on that for a while, other than it just being like a bit of a something I mention and in on a party, because I'm the most, by far the most exciting person at every party. It wasn't until I was I was struggling in the labs for what I've now realised was undiagnosed ADHD. Our boss got us these little books that were the Gallup Strength Finder Index. I don't know if either of you have those.
Yeah, yeah, I have them. Yeah, yeah, I have them.
And this book, I was, oh my God, I was just like, this is so cool. And I just immediately did the whole thing and loved it and looked into it. And my, I remember one of my colleagues, she was all like, oh, I just haven't had time to do it. And I was so desperate for everyone to do it because I just really wanted to know. And I said to her, right, if I go get you your lunch today, will you stay here and do it so that we can know what you are? And she was like, yeah, right, fine. So I went and got her lunch so she could actually do the test because I was so desperate to know what everyone's thing was and where they all fit and what their strengths were and all this stuff. And it made me go, oh, and that's what made me go, oh my God, I love this. I love digging into what makes each person who they are and looking at how like identity is such an important part of human beings. Like, and kind of like looking at us in the same way I often look at like other animals.
Yeah.
From that whole perspective. Like that. And that's kind of when I realized, well, actually, I love animals. I think they're fascinating. However, like working in animal care wasn't for me because it's a lot of cleaning. I don't like cleaning. I do not like
We're
it.
We're ADHD. Cleaning does not have dopamine, right? Like that's not
no
a thing.
Dopamine, yeah. No.
And I like novelty. I like doing lots of, I like doing things that are different all the time. When you're looking after animals, generally it's very repetitive, it's which for some people is absolutely fine. Just being with that animal and looking after it, for it and caring for it and that looking the same every day is absolutely fine because they love being with that animal. But for me, I was kind of like, and even in like the labs, because I did look after animals in labs, even on the research side, it was all medical stuff, and a lot of it was like veterinary stuff as well. So it wasn't so bad. Cool. So I was very, I kind of realised actually I don't think working with animals is for me. I would rather work with the human animal instead, and kind of look into that. So that's kind of where the leap happened, and that's when I discovered things like coaching, and. And really, it was so looking at humans in this perspective, I kind of, one of the questions I really wanted to answer was kind of like, okay, so we think, when we think of like, you know, a tiger, you know, the tiger, there's certain things that make a tiger, like it's, you know, it's the fact that it's a hunter, the fact that it's a solitary animal, the fact that it's a big cat and it likes to be in boxes. Tigers like that just as much as any cat.
I've seen the videos, they're great.
I love, yeah, that makes me really happy, yeah.
And like there's certain ways you would build a tiger's enclosure at a zoo to make it as happy as possible. And I would kind of, it made me just think kind of like, okay, well, what are humans' things then? Because a lot of people kind of will be like, oh, what sets humans apart is that they really love and care for each other. And I'm like, no, animals do that. Like, you know, animals do that. Like, that isn't special for humans. It's kind of like, oh, we really, you know, like, humans are really, like, resourceful. And I'm kind of like, oh, so are dolphins and crows.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah. Oh, I love watching the crows outside when they're trying to smash open the nuts and things. It's amazing.
I'm currently trying, because my new office overlooks a roof, and I am trying very hard to make friends with the crows without throwing food out there, which will also attract rats. It's a bit of a fine balance, but I'm really hoping I will end up with a crow friend. That would be pretty cool. But they remember, don't they?
I love the rats.
Rats are very intelligent.
I know, I don't want to get kicked out. I know, I think they're amazing, but I don't want to get kicked out for attracting rats. Bearing in mind, we've got quite a few food places there. Like, rats are not welcome in our space.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
That is a consideration.
But yeah. So how did you, like, were you kind of aware... Because I know, so without spoiling your story, I know that all three of us have struggled with like normal jobs, like the kind of expectation of normal jobs and work and life and those things because of the way that our brains are wired. Although we all came to that fairly late in life. So that was like came to that knowledge late in life. But were you aware? Because like I would say for me, I was aware that I was unhappy with like the world's expectations in many areas, specifically work being the worst one. But I didn't know like it... I think even with all the self-development and stuff I did, I don't think it ever occurred to me to be like humans as a whole. I was just always like, why have humans designed society like this? This is fucking stupid. And then people would be like, yeah, but that's just how it is. And I never really went beyond that. I just wanted to fix my space. You sound like you are looking further to kind of fix other people, like to change how things are. Yeah. And I'm really curious about that because most people don't go that far. Most people are like, I just want to sort my life out, fix my shit, be happy, and everything will be fine. And you've definitely beyond that, aren't you? I think.
Yeah. I wanted to leave just as much as everyone did. I wanted to get out of it. But for me, it was not enough to just leave. I needed to change it because I was kind of like, I've always seen, right, especially since I realised that I had it, ADHD and other neurodiversities, I could sort of see us as the proverbial canaries down the mine shaft. Once we start dropping, there's a problem. Because if we're struggling, people who don't have, you know, neurotypical people are probably struggling too. Because the things that we struggle with are the hardest parts of like the human experience, if you will. So if we're struggling with it, if we can't do it, like, you know, I can't stay in an employment job for longer than about 2 years before I am so bored and stressed, I have to go. Like, I had to go and do something else. And I kind of like, well, if I feel that way, I cannot do it. You know, after 2 years, I am at the point where I can't get out of bed to go anymore. I cannot do it. I have to change. You know, I imagine other people are going to feel this as well who aren't ADHD. You know, that means that. So basically, I'm like, right, well, if I'm struggling, other people will be as well, even people who aren't ADHD. And we need to do something about that. Because a big part of being human is you live in your communities and your societies, and you want to kind of like work together to make those societies better. Like, you know, we all, you know, people in general seem to have this drive to want to contribute, to be a part of that society. Because of course, if you didn't do that, then you might not be worth your shit and you'd get kicked out and the saber-toothed tigers would eat you know, which I to be honest still question, because I don't think people just kicked each other out for not being useful, if you will. I don't think that really happened. Might have happened in some tribes, to be fair, because everyone's different, but overall I don't think that would have been a huge thing. But
well, I guess life is nicer when everybody does work together. And when everyone is sort of happier and contributing, and yeah, that makes sense, I think.
Yes. So I just kind of figured, right, well, these days, right, we don't have our tribes anymore. It's a whole different built-up society. So really now it's work. Work is the way that we do that. What we choose to do is work. So I'm like, so work needs to be something that provides people with the opportunities to be human, just like a tiger's enclosure needs to provide it with the opportunity to be a tiger. Like, so...
Cannot tell you how much I love this analogy, but
I'm fascinated. As soon as you even mentioned this idea of like with animals, especially like arranging their environment so that they can actually be their natural selves, but it just lit something up in me thinking, oh, is that so? That's what we need to be doing for our neurodiverse brains. And, yeah, exactly.
And I just feel right. So my slogan. Since, you know, for years, I've thought about it, and it came to me and was like, bang. And it was, the world needs you to be you.
Mm.
And so, because when human beings are able to just be themselves and express that and, you know, not have to struggle for, like, resources, like in our case, money at the moment. Money buys us the resources we need. If you can just be yourself and that be... enough money and everything to live on, then everyone kind of then exhibits the human traits that make us the species that we are. And one of the big the big ones are, we're very creative, we like to create things, we like to explore, be that like literally like exploring somewhere, or like exploring like a new skill, like a language, or mountain biking, or something. You know, we like to explore. We like to help each other, be that other animals or humans. Like, you know, most people get a lot out of that. We also really like stories. We like storytelling.
Yes, we do.
You know, all of those combined make us really good problem solvers. And when people are happy and they don't have to worry about things like where their next paycheck is coming from and can they cope with that meeting tomorrow and can, you know, and all that sort of stuff, people start to turn their attention towards the problems in society that can be fixed. And so, you know, human beings, I fully believe that human beings have it in them to solve every problem society is currently facing if they're allowed to just be themselves. Because when they're themselves, they get to explore their creativity and explore their need to explore and explore the desire to kind of be there for other people, other creatures, in whatever way that works for them. And that just creates problem. That just creates problem solving.
Yeah.
And that's
this is fascinating
why,
to me. It's,
yeah. Go on.
It's this idea of then is like, actually, I need to nurture myself first before I can help others. It's a little bit like the old, you know, I'm going on a plane in two weeks, so I probably shouldn't go with this analogy. But, you know, when the plane's going down, get your own oxygen mask first before you help the person next to you, kind of.
Well, yeah. Well, because, you know, you get a lot of people, because I have this very strong thing of like, look, human beings actually are naturally very kind. I know there's this idea that like, humans are assholes, humans are terrible, humans are jerks. And I'm just like, well, you're one. Are you those things? And I'm like, humans are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, when you're exhausted, you are not at your best health. When you're exhausted and there's a baby crying in the flat next to you, you're just like, shut that fucking thing up.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not exhausted, you're just like, oh, poor little thing. Like, you know, like...
Yeah. Impacts and, how you are with the world, doesn't it? Yeah.
Work exhausts people. Be you neurotypical or neurodiverse or whatever. Like, it exhausts people. Because usually they're just having to... There's so much they're having to do that isn't allowing them to be human.
Do you know, I'm so curious about this. This might be a bit of a tangent, so please both of you stop me if it's too much of a tangent. But I have long thought, so every time I used to say, if every single person was able to do the stuff that they were like happy and good at, and those are not necessarily always the same things. Like, just because you're good at something doesn't mean that it's something that also makes you happy.
Yeah.
But if everyone could do what they wanted to do and that they were good at and that, you know, earn money and stuff from that, the world would be a better place. To which somebody always says, yeah, but then no one would want to do like the cleaning and stuff, so, you know, the world would fall apart.
I know, but some people love that stuff though.
So this is what's really interesting to me, because like, I am shit at cleaning. Like, Sarah has stayed in my house for 2 weeks. She will maintain. In fact, I think she might have cleaned my microwave because I just hadn't. So, like, I'm just not good at cleaning, right? Like, I can do the basics, but it's not my thing. But my mum gets real satisfaction from somewhere being clean and will happily do the cleaning in order to get to that state where it is clean and sparkling. And her house is always pristine. It's always a bloody joy. It's incredibly stressful if you spill red sparkly nail varnish on her cream carpet, as I found out, to my detriment. Whereas in here, I'm just like, fuck it, put something over it, it'll be fine. But I'd love your opinion. Like, I'd love your experience, I guess, Sam, of like, is it too optimistic to think that there is actually a role for everybody and everything would, like, some of the bullshit jobs would disappear. I think that's probably okay. But I feel like all the fundamental parts of society would be covered by, if everybody was able, and even I also include in this, and I know this is something close to your heart as well, being a fucking night owl. Like, morning people are so smug and superior, to me at least. And if we were all able to work when we were, then some of us would work stupid o'clock in the morning, some of us would work stupid o'clock at night, and some of us would cover that bit in the middle, and everything would be fine. But I don't know if I'm being too simplistic thinking that that would be a natural kind of progression.
I don't think you're being simplistic at all. I mean, first of all, people still seem to be hung up on this idea that people have their one thing. And I'm just like, maybe your one thing is your one thing for now. That might change in a few years because people change. You might have multiple things at once, and somebody might really enjoy, like, I don't know, building houses, and then they might also enjoy cleaning. You know, like, they might be two completely different things that aren't even related to each other. Like, they might enjoy, like, yeah, you might enjoy cleaning and you might also enjoy painting, right? So that, you know, you do them both. So, and there are people who love cleaning, and this is why social media is amazing, because
you can see that. Yes.
People are showcasing the things that they love. And there's loads of people who go around and do cleaning and love it. Like, there's a lady that I follow who, she goes all over the world cleaning, like, hoarders and people's houses who are depressed, who, you know, the houses are absolutely disgusting, but she loves it. You know, like, she's always there going, look at this mess. Oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, like, she loves it. And,
it's that,
you know,
satisfaction they're going to get, isn't it, when they've complete, because I've just started following a guy, and all he does once a week, he goes round to the most overgrown gardens and asks
I know
if
him.
He can yeah
the same,
awesome
the same guy. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. But I mean, I love watching this. As I watch it, I think, well, there's no way I would ever do all of that work, I'd be exhausted by now. But I love watching the final outcome and think, and it must be that sense of real, like, it's what it gives them, isn't it? That satisfaction and the same as all the things that I love to do. That the reason I do them is because of how they make me feel when I've done them. So
yeah, and that's where that intrinsic motivation comes from to do them, isn't it? That's where, like, I guess, is that where the joy and the happiness sits? Like, because it's something you want and you know what the outcome's going to be?
I think the thing is, right, I think for some people it is. The only time I occasionally don't mind cleaning is if, like, say, for example, I don't mind doing vacuuming if the floor is an absolute disgusting mess, because then I'll, like, zoom, look at that!
You know, like, it's like an advert.
Yeah,
you can see,
like,
you can see the change you've made, yeah.
You know, things like kind of like wiping the side down that looks completely clean, I'm just like, it looks fine. What? Why would I wipe this down for there to be no visual difference at all? I can't tell I've done that work, you know. But you know, some people, I think it's my partner who once said this. He was like, some people get joy out of creating something. Some people get joy out of maintaining things.
Mm.
You know, like, so some people are like create the thing, and other people like maintain it, you know. And a lot of the time, like, you know, I'm a massive gamer, right? When Minecraft came out, the person who made Minecraft, you know, had that spark of the idea for, like, there's this game that's like all these different blocks. Now, it wasn't him who came up with the amazing amount of modifications for the game, mods that they're called, that, like, went absolutely, took that idea and ran with it. And, like, so a lot of people who spark the ideas aren't the people who then make the amazing modifications. You know, like, there's all these kind of ways people click together. And, like, you know, like, someone who likes cleaning, that might not be all they do. Like, but, you know, but it's still rooted in this idea that people have one job and they have one thing, which I think is actually really
reductive
of people and human beings. And maybe that's me speaking as an ADHDer, you know, who obviously has loads of trains of thought and loads of interests. But like, and same as, like, you know, when you say to kids, oh, you've got to come up with your one thing that you want to do now so you can go choose uni or whatever.
It's a whole thing, isn't it? Yeah. And what, you know, who actually, how many people actually follow through? I mean, I will say my husband did, because he wanted to be a paramedic from the age of 4, and that is what he did. So
yeah. And some
there
people,
are there are some weirdos like that out there.
I was going to say, we love him, but he might be a weirdo, Sarah.
I think I wrote it in a blog post not too long ago. I was like, maybe, you know, we as humans, we do tend to admire what we struggle with. So maybe this whole idea of one thing was because we admired the people who could do one thing because it was rare.
But now... Maybe we're the neurotypicals and they're the neurodivergent ones.
Oh, that's a whole... Yeah, I know. That's a whole nother...
There's a whole... So, okay, I'm curious. Like, can we talk a bit more about... Because you said this wonderful thing, which Sarah and I had, like, proper brain fire. We haven't had brain fireworks for a while, have we,
while,
Sarah? At the same time on the thing. So this concept of, like... Because obviously there's been, and I think in recent years, there's definitely been a destigmatizing of ADHD, autism, other neurodivergencies. But with the explosion in late diagnosis and new research and stuff, I've been lucky enough not to experience much of it, but I have still seen it with lots of people being like, oh, you're just jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, everyone's got that now. Oh, we're all a little bit ADHD, or we're all a little bit. It's a bit like, I feel like a few years ago, it was, oh, we're all a little bit OCD. And as someone who has struggled with actual OCD symptoms, it's not a little bit. It really impacts
your
life,
your whole
as
world,
we all know.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and we know that, and it was a real struggle to get past it as well. And mine were fairly mild symptoms. So, I am really curious about, because I know a few people who are like, well, it's not like it, and it, you know, there are things that we struggle with, but there, I think there are elements of it being a superpower, and I think it's important not to reduce it to just that, because obviously it's. But I think that some of the reasons it's a problem is because of society, not necessarily because of us. And I know you have some amazing stuff going on about kind of neurodivergent people's place in society and thriving and stuff. So can we have a little bit of a chat about that? Because I'm very excited to hear more about this.
Sure. So, I mean, maybe it becomes from my science background, but when there's a problem, I always like to try and trace it right back to a root. And I'm not in a biased way, not because I'm just kind of like, God, the problem is with capitalism, so let's find out how it's capitalism's fault, you know, and all that. Like, not like that, but just in a way of kind of like, just really kind of like going like, right, okay, where did this problem come from? Like, really, like, what is, you know, like, so, like, I don't know, like, if there's something that I have a problem with, I'm like, where does that come from? Oh, I think it comes from that time when I was 5 and that just built up and up. You know, I really like to look at the root of things, and I'm kind of like, right, okay, so, like, looking at our history, you know, there's been some very large kind of revolutions. So we were hunter-gatherers at first. We lived in tribal communities. We travelled around a lot, quite nomadic. From what we can see, this was quite an egalitarian society. It would have been different depending on the tribes, you know, because everyone's different things. But it was quite egalitarian. Then we had the agricultural revolution, where people started to farm. Now, obviously, this revolution happened over tens of thousands of years. Like, it didn't just go, oh, farming, what a good idea. At this point in farming, it became important. The bigger and stronger you are, the more useful you were, because you needed to defend your patch of land. Not something that had ever happened before in tribal times, because people were nomads and they weren't too fussed about that sort of thing. And that's kind of where we started to see like a patriarchal society emerge, because like the men being the bigger and like stronger of the versions of humans that you could get, kind of had more clout, because they were kind of able to more fight off other humans from taking that part of the land. That's kind of where that all happened. And then we kind of had a whole cascade, and that's obviously a whole great big huge kettle of fish which we could do a whole other podcast on. But like, let's package that up and put that away for a second. We then
park that for a bit. Yeah.
That. Then of course, now we lived like this for a long time, and then we had the Industrial Revolution. Obviously, a lot more recent. We are only just coming out of the Industrial Revolution. We're now in like the Information Age, and we're looking potentially at a new one with the AI Revolution, and that is obviously another thing we're going to package and put on this side.
Not for this episode.
We'll just have to have you back for another episode at some point to talk about those things.
Sure. So now, when the Industrial Revolution happened, right? Before that, we were like farmers and artisans. People still lived by like the sun, and when the sun came up and set, we still lived by the seasons. You know, we were still very much like community knit, you know. People would have had their roles, you know. Someone who had ADHD, you know, maybe who got into a hyperfocus and would forget to eat, you know, like people in the village would just be like, oh, can you just go and bring this sandwich to Sandra? Because she's going to forget to eat otherwise. Like, because she's in one of her weird states, you know, just go give her that sandwich. I don't know. Do they have sandwiches? I don't know. But they might.
I know what you mean.
But you know what I mean. Now, when the Industrial Revolution happened, suddenly what was needed was lots of people to be in factories. And what they needed in that time were people who could just shovel coal into the furnace. Just shovel that coal. Just shovel it all day, nonstop. Just shovel it. Or that furnace is going to go out. So just shovel that coal. You know, that's it. And what they did not want were people who were going to go, oh, I'm just going to stop and think about that for a minute. Oh, fire's gone out. Factory's gone. Like, they didn't want people who were, that didn't work for people who, you know, so suddenly a certain set of skills were what was required, you know, and it was kind of like, you know, the plethora of human skills suddenly in the Industrial Revolution was no longer needed in the factories, right? So like, I described it in a blog post kind of a bit like, so in the Industrial Revolution, the skills that they needed were X, Y, and Z. And if you didn't have the skills of X, Y, and Z, you weren't any use. Now, your skills might be in B, K, and S. And those are great, but they're not X, Y, and Z. So therefore, sorry, but you're not any use to us. We need you to have X, Y, and Z. You know, so whereas like even during the agricultural revolution, there was a lot of room for people to still kind of be in their strengths, and obviously you had communities built up so that, yeah, like for example, if you had someone who was ADHD and got into a hyperfocus state and forgot to eat, you know, you'd just have like someone around the corner be like, oh, and just go help them out, you know what they're like, you know, like, And even people who were, like, say, really, like, I don't know if the term's correct to use anymore, but, like, low functioning and that sort of thing, like, would still probably have a role, because when we needed the harvest, when the harvest was due in, just everyone had to go and pick the grain. And that's not too hard. And, you know, even like somebody who was, like, say, even people who were disabled in one way or another would be able to do that. So it's just like, great, yeah. And it's kind of like, yeah, okay, Johnny can't really help out much, but he can pick the grain. So great, brilliant. He can do whatever.
There's some belonging stuff in there as well, isn't there? Like, not quite everyone has a place, but everyone sort of has a place and a role and a... Yeah, I don't know. I think you might have just set off some brain fireworks. Carry on and I'll see if that...
Sure.
Yeah, keep going.
So,
sorry.
But yeah, so we kind of went through this point in the Industrial Revolution where, you know, suddenly a lot of people, the skills they were born with just weren't useful anymore. And so therefore they struggled. And then we had the problem of people who were disabled. Like, you needed to be, you know, in order to shovel all that coal, you needed to be able-bodied, for example. Like, there was no room for not having that. There was no room for people who just, you know, who would kind of sit there and go, you know what, I think there might be an easier way to shovel this coal, and would then kind of sit down and think about it and discuss it with their peers. If you're discussing things with other people, you're encouraging them not to shovel the coal. They don't want that. You know, and because at that point, the only competition between the factories was who can get more product out faster.
Fastest, yeah, exactly. And it was that idea of just, it's constant productivity, wasn't it? That's all they wanted. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, and the way that actually worked was like a lot of these big factories, a lot of these companies, what they did is they just bought up land, which meant the farmers no longer had their land and had no choice but to go to the cities. You know, it wasn't kind of like a mass migration because everyone was like, oh, factory work. You know, like, you know, a lot of, I think, I have a friend who studied history and he studied this exact bit. And he even said, oh, you know, the history is not people joyously going to cities. It's people being forced into these factories, because when they were like, sorry, you want me to work 12 hours every single day? My farm only requires, yeah, that harvest time, but other than that, we just sit around and do whatever we feel like, you know. Right now, I think sometime in the near future, we're going to see part-time work being the norm and the kind of thing, and that's going to be like a thing that people do, part-time work, and that'll be enough money to live on. And I think people are going to look back on us working 9 to 5, Monday to Fridays, and go, how did people do that? How did they do
and
that?
And why?
And how did they,
yeah, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
How did they fit in and enjoy themselves? You know, because I think kind of, I don't think any human brain is actually built to just be on focus, bang on, 9 till 5. Obviously we know, but this is where I say, like, ADHD brains, autistic brains can't cope with that. We're those canaries in the mineshaft who can't cope. We go down first, right? Mm. And that means that other people can't cope as well. It's just,
it kind of makes me think then. So, because I was talking to somebody the other day who was like, I can't even remember who I was talking to. Someone who is in a Monday to Friday 9 to 5 job, and they were talking about how their friend was like doing lots of different jobs. And I went, yeah, the gig economy. And she went, I'm sorry, what? And I was like, yeah, it's a whole thing, where you can actually make money doing lots of different things, lots of different income streams. It's basically what I do as a freelancer, as a business owner, what all of us do. And her jaw just kind of dropped, because it was like, oh, that's a thing. That's a but I feel like it's and maybe it is one of the things I kind of sort of think about is everyone I know who has been diagnosed with neurodiversity or suspects pretty much all of them have branched out into this gig economy, or, you know, all of these different income streams, yeah, etc. And it's, so I feel like maybe that's, yeah, is it neurodiversity paving the way in this area, do we think? Is that what's happening?
It could be. I mean, I think that there's this big, huge diversity in human beings, and there's going to be some people who love just doing the same thing every day, and they're just like, I know where I stand, I know what this is, you know. And I'm sure in the Industrial Revolutions there were some examples of people probably being like, oh, thank God, I can just turn up this factory and work and I'll get money, you know, like, no longer do I have to worry about whether or not my harvest is good this year, you know, that then I'm sure there were, like, you know, because that's the thing, we're this big diverse all these, you know, and that's the thing. And I said to you, and I said to this in my thing that I sent to you, which was that if neurodiversity was a detriment to human society, it would have exited the gene pool a very long time ago, because that's how evolution works.
So true. Yeah, so true. Yeah. Can we just highlight that a minute and put some sparkles around it, because that is just
all the sparkles. Yep.
Yeah, I love
it.
That
long gone. Do you know how quickly human beings stopped having tails?
Oh, go on.
No.
Like, don't be too excited. I don't actually know how quick that is. Like, I'm just using that as an example that I pulled out of my ass.
Pretty quick, though.
But like, you know, but like, as soon as monkeys started coming down from the trees and started turning into apes and chimps, that tail was gone because it was no longer useful.
You don't need it anymore.
Needed, yeah. Yeah.
The evolution is not built to create things that don't work. As soon as that becomes useless, it goes out. And in our tribal times, you know, because a lot of neurodiverse people, particularly ADHD, thrive on change. You know, we love change. We love it, and we love the kind of the challenge that brings. Now, it certainly makes sense in the tribe to have, basically, having people who are neurodiverse, neurotypical, or whatever, all these different things that all the different people are, like, meant that no matter what happened to your tribe, there was going to be groups of people who embraced that and ran with it and made it work.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, like, I'm pondering all the things you've said in tandem in my head. I've no idea which bit's going to come out first, so we'll see.
The beauty of ADHD.
The beauty of ADHD. I think the thing that is, like, is, so, like, people have often said to me over the years, like, you look at things in a really wonky way. You look at things really weirdly. You have really weird perspective on stuff. And they always say weird. Nobody ever says different. They always say weird. And I'm okay with being weird. I love being weird. That's cool. But what they see as a weird perspective, I see as, I look at something that everyone sees as normal and I'm like, why the fuck have we... So, for example, someone posted something, a friend of mine posted the other day, that shops are generally open 9 till 6 and people generally work 9 till 6. Who the fuck made that? Like, who decided that was a good idea? So I feel like there's something... And I am just... I think I'm curious because coaching is at the base of what you do, but you also mentioned working with companies. I'm really curious about how, like, is your role to ask the wonky questions to other people, or to get them to look at things more wonky themselves, not wonky, weird, whatever, but differently? This is the trouble. I've got literally 15 different threads from all the things you've been talking about, and now I'm like, what would I look like with a tail is also happening in my head right now.
We don't want that, Kristen.
Not a mermaid tail, a tail, like a monkey tail. Anyway, what am I asking? I think I'm asking, is it... So I know that you are already making waves, which is really cool, but is it possible to change perspective of everybody, or is it a case that actually, you know, when they say, like, if you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person, don't tell them the same.
Yeah. Brush.
Are we in danger of assuming that all the neurotypicals are the same when they're actually not? And is it that, which I guess goes back to what you said right at the beginning, which is that we all need to be able to do what we do. But I don't know. I don't actually know what I'm asking. I am having many, many brain fireworks at the same time, and my brain is just as confused as you all are now listening to that.
I have a feeling. Sorry. I know there we what go. You're asking.
What I'm getting at.
So is it kind of like, is the danger that now it's like kind of like, are we going to get society to look to ADHD people and autistic people with the answers of how to solve everything? Like, because they look
kind
at things
of, yeah.
a bit different.
Yeah, because we seem to be the ones that see differently and have done that before we knew we had, in almost every case I know, before we knew we had a diagnosis, unless it was very young. But what if the answers aren't as clear? I don't know. Yeah,
well,
along those lines, I think maybe.
So I do a lot of work with ADHD now, and I do work with like workplaces trying to become more ADHD friendly. And
which is really cool, because that is so needed.
Yeah. I'm hoping to kind of like partner up with someone who's autistic to kind of like bring an autistic lens into it as well at some point. But that's a one day thing. I'm not considering how I know I feel when someone who isn't ADHD tells me what I'm supposed to do with ADHD, and I'm like, fuck off. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, I imagine autistic people may well feel the same. So I'm not going to.
That's a bit like a story I read recently about a man explaining the menopause to a woman. Hold on a second. Come on now. Shall we not, really?
Yeah. I'm sure that the menopause... I'm sure that there are men out there who have studied the menopause and know loads about it, probably more than me.
Sure.
But unfortunately, and this
they've
is the
never
thing...
never experienced it.
But you have to work with the society you've currently got, right? And unfortunately, women have had a lot of men disrespecting them over the years, so therefore unfortunately are no longer interested in what a lot of them have to say. Like,
yeah,
I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong, but that is the what we've got now. People who are neurodiverse have gone through a lot of their lives having people who are not neurodiverse tell them, why don't you just do things my way, what's wrong with you? And so therefore a lot of us no longer want to hear what they've got to say, because we're just like, sorry, you had your chance and you blew it. I want to now hear what this ADHD who is where I want to be. I'm much more interested in what they've got to say,
and someone who's actually been through the same stuff, like who's had that same definitely.
And, like I said, that doesn't mean that no one who has ADHD is able to understand it and advise, but it doesn't. But because of the history we've all had, unfortunately, it does mean a lot of us don't want to listen to that. But that's a slight tangent on what I was going to say, which was, so yeah, with the stuff I do kind of make workplaces more ADHD friendly, the way I often end up saying is kind of like, right, I kind of go through and kind of be like, right, okay, so here are the ways in which, so here's some information, here's my story, here's some information on ADHD, both the negatives and the positives, because that isn't often talked about, and then here's what the workplace can do. Now, the last thing I always make a big point of is, now, all these reasonable adjustments you've talked about, you need to make these available to every person. And that is for a variety of reasons. And one, because there's some people who might not want to disclose they've got ADHD. People might have it and never know their whole lives that they've got it. But three, everyone finds life hard. And you don't know what someone's going through. Like, you know, if someone's going through a divorce at home and therefore could use more flexible working while they're going through that, they can have that temporarily. Like, you know, all the things that... There's a kind of a bit of analogy that I used to explain. There was this lady who was saying on a Facebook thing, saying kind of like, well, I'm not ADHD, but all these things would actually, I'd find really useful. What does that mean? Because I know I don't have it. And I kind of said to her, well, if you had like a 12-story building, right, where if there was no lift, everyone had to walk to the top. Now, that all immediately means that people who have, you know, who have to use a wheelchair can't get there. But it's hard for anyone to walk to the top. If they put lifts in, plenty of lifts for everyone, not only does that mean that the people in the wheelchair can get to the top, but it's easier for the people who can walk up those lifts. A lot of things that make things accessible are actually useful for everybody. And
such
so,
a good analogy. I love that.
Yeah. And so, like, in answer to your question about, like, oh, you know, your sort of question, which was kind of like, are we going to just start looking to ADHD and autistic people to, like, solve all the problems? I'm kind of like, well, what I want to do is kind of start, because where I started of all this was kind of just wanting people to be able to be themselves. I've now kind of like pivoted into ADHD stuff because I have ADHD, which means a lot of people who have ADHD are kind of like coming to me. Actually, when I talked about my diagnosis online, and I kind of said, right, well, I've had my diagnosis, everyone, here's how I feel about that. I had so many people coming to me going, oh my God, how did you get diagnosed? Oh my God, I think I've got it. Oh my God. You know, like, so they're just kind of like, kind of all come out of the woodwork, and I'm kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is clearly something that needs to be talked about. You know, so that's why I've pivoted into ADHD. But actually, sort of what I'm trying to do is use neurodiversity training to kind of actually push my agenda, Trojan horse, if you will. Neurodiversity is my Trojan horse. When my real message is, no, we need to let everyone be themselves and let everyone decide what works
do
for
what
them.
They need.
Because everyone's going to have... Everyone's going to have something in the back that's going to solve a problem somewhere. And we shouldn't, we can't put people who are neurodiverse on a pedestal, like, because they're just people and everyone's just people.
There's a different way of thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a, I just want to sort of, I'm also conscious of time. So just thinking about slowly winding this up because I'm having a lot of fun. There's a lot you've said today that's already made me actually almost like, I can't think of the word. There's a word I've been mulling over, but like you've like verified a lot of how I feel and how I've thought about things for a very long time. And you talked a little bit as well about obviously talking about the positives of things like ADHD as well. I'm just thinking if there's people who are listening to this who maybe are suspecting, starting to approach a diagnosis, going through, maybe have just been diagnosed with any kind of neurodiversity and are kind of stuck in the really negative traits of all of that at the moment, all the things that they're struggling with. Can we talk about some of that positive stuff? Can we actually highlight what some of that stuff is? Because I think that would be really good to make people feel a lot better about.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, one of the big ones that I'm sure you two will agree with is the ability to hyper-focus.
I love a hyper-focus.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great. Like, you know, that is a state that you can get into where you are so focused on that thing you're doing that you will...
Time just goes.
Yeah, like I love my Copic markers, which I've got here, which are like right next to me at all times. Now,
I'm so jealous of those. She's got a full set. They're beautiful.
They're very expensive. So therefore, I don't want to buy every single one of them. Also, a lot of them are like, you know, the same colour. I buy it and go, this is exactly the same colour as this one. So I kind of went through I've got the official Copic colour chart and then a colour chart made by this other lady who actually had coloured everything in with them so you could see exactly what they look like on paper. And I spent, it turned out it was 8 hours looking at them and comparing them and deciding which colours I was going to put on my list, you know, and I thought that was like an hour. 8 hours had gone by. Now,
I just want to say because one of the things people talk about with ADHD is impulsivity as well. And there are some things that I can be very impulsive about, but there are some things just like this where I can be super like hyper focused and really want to go in depth and analyze. And that's really sort of, I just want to point that out, you know.
And I also want to add into there, like the thing that everybody, regardless of brain wiring or diagnosis or otherwise, the thing that, and particularly in creative, like this is a podcast about creativity at its heart. And people bang on about wanting to get into flow. There is no more flow state than hyperfocus. Like, I have been in just general flow. There are first certain activities I know that are flow, but they stop when I need them to stop. They stop at a certain time. They have boundaries around them. Hyperfocus does not. And it is the best. The only thing I would say just to temper that is like, I have the body of a 38-year-old, bladder of a 88-year-old, and at the end of hyperfocus my bladder is very, very much like shouting at me. But apart from that, like it's the best feeling to be able to get so into something. That's a good one to pick. I like that.
One of the positives that I like to highlight to employers as well is if you've got ADHD, you cannot do something that's dull and boring and uninteresting. If you've got to do a task, if you have to do it, you will find a way. The ADHD person will find a way to make that more interesting. They might kind of problem solve around it, but they won't compromise on the quality that needs to be done. But you will just automatically problem solve a way to make that more interesting, doable, more human friendly. And I kind of say like, right, your ADHD people just won't be able to do it. They won't be able to do that dull, boring, annoying thing. They will find a way around it. I said, people who don't have ADHD, they won't. And they might just carry on doing that thing that's really annoying and dull and boring and just kind of doing it and potentially doing it a bit half-assed if they kind of are just like, oh, this, you know, this doesn't really matter.
Whereas just to get it done.
Yeah, whereas your ADHD employees aren't going to do that. They're going to find a way around it. So, like, you know, like, so that's another thing. Like, if you've got to get to here in front of you, but that route is hard, you as an ADHD person will find another route.
Yeah,
you will
absolutely.
Do it. You have that capabilities to do that. Like, you're not just gonna, if you want to get there, you will find your way. Like
which is weird because one of the ways I would describe that is single-mindedness, and that is not something that is often associated with ADHD, but actually I think does in that situation. It absolutely is that, well, I've got to do this thing, so I'm going to find a way to do it and I'll figure it out.
Yeah There's also a hell of a lot of resilience in ADHD. Because you've grown up in a society that has probably told you that you're wrong a lot, and you've put up and dealt with that. Like, you know, I know that RSD, not repetitive strain injury,
Rejection sensitivity disorder.
Dysphoria. That is a common thing to go in hand in hand with ADHD. But that's kind of when that's kind. But you know, but that's come from years of being criticised. You know, like you've certainly heard criticism before as an ADHDer, and you've certainly got experience with that. You know, and different people who've had different lives are going to respond to that in different ways. But hey, if you're listening to this, you're still here, so you've survived that. You know, that's resilience. And even if you've survived it being dragged through by your hair, throwing a temper tantrum, you've still survived it. You know, you've still learned stuff about that. So, like, you know, a lot of people with ADHD have a hell of a lot of resilience. I do not give a fuck when someone tells me I'm doing something wrong. I'm just kind of like, okay, good for you, and then I carry on doing it in that way. Like, it doesn't even water off duck's back for me. I'm just like, whatever, don't even
care. I think for a lot of people, I see two different camps with people that I talk to, especially with ADHD, and there are the people who are this idea of okay, fine, that's, if you think that's wrong, but I'm still going to do it this way anyway, just leave me alone. And then you get the other people who are they feel the real sense of shame around any of that, and so that, and I think that's where a lot of the masking comes from as well, is then trying to be
what
everyone wants you to be because of this shame feeling that it causes.
What I say to people is, I'm kind of like, okay, well, maybe if what you want to do is go out and murder people, then okay, maybe there's another thing. But like, assuming what you're doing isn't hurting anyone else, you know, it's kind of like, you're the one embracing being a human. Because humans do, because we humans are diverse creatures, and that is why we are where we are today. Like, if we weren't, then we'd have died out long ago. Or be something else by now, you know.
Yeah. That's
like, you know, obviously some would argue that, like, we're not necessarily treating the world very well. But regardless of that, we are the ones who are, we are technically at the top of whatever food chain you kind of want to say, because we have a lot of control over what's going on in the world. We've got there because we're, you know, lions haven't got there, you know, like dolphins haven't got there.
Yeah.
Like, and like dolphins,
despite the fact that I have to say creatures. Not sure about a dolphin, but against a lion, I'm fairly sure I would lose. Against a dolphin,
you'd probably lose against a dolphin. I mean, it would just drown you. Yeah. I mean, unless it was a dolphin on the land, in which case it would just be flopping around on the floor and it'd be all right.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on the
lion. Or a lion in the water. I think I'd probably lose against a lion in the water as well.
They still have big claws. You'd definitely lose against a dolphin in the water. Now, you see, this my zoology knowledge comes in very handy if we're talking about what's going to win in a fight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like I want you on my Trivial Pursuit team. But yeah, no, not that any of this is trivial, but you know what I mean, like that kind of knowledge. But no, I think what would be your kind of one? So from kind of your journey, both as a human, because that's a thing.
I am a human,
and you are a human. So as a human, as a coach, as someone with ADHD, and as someone who has worked with animals and humans. What do you like? Is there one thing that you would like everyone listening to this podcast, know, everyone in the world potentially to know? I think I know the answer to this already, but anyway, it's cool. Well, I hope you're going to say what I think you're going to say, but like, what is the one thing that we all need to hold close to start to make these changes in the world? Like, what is the one thing that we all need to know?
You are a human, which means that you have been born with this incredible diversity, and kindness to your other humans and creatures. And I'm not interested in hearing anything others. If humans hadn't evolved to be kind, we wouldn't care if we weren't. And most people do care that humans aren't kind. If you weren't, I might have told you this one before, Carla. When tigers fight over territory, they don't go away and go, oh, I'm such a terrible tiger. I shouldn't have done that. I think about this
more than I probably should.
That's like, a good point, though.
You know, tigers are just like, yeah, no, that was my territory, and she fucked off when she knew. And she knew she was in the wrong place. You know, like,
there are no tigers in therapy, are there?
Whereas we go away going, oh, God, that was terrible, I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, humans, we see other people being mean and go, ugh, You know, we feel it ourselves. We don't like it. We don't like it. We don't like it. And so I'm just like, humans are kind. We're only unkind because we're exhausted with the world. So you are a kind and diverse creature. And
you're just tired. You,
yeah, you're just tired. Do well to remember that, because what you're drawn to is a thing that's going to make the world better, because that's how diversity works, like encouraging the diversity of all people. And so take that away for yourself, and then in order to carry on making the world better, we just need to encourage other people to be able to do that too.
Oh
yeah,
that's making me smile, like really. My face is aching from smiling. So that's such a lovely,
it's really good.
Yeah, I think we all need to carry that and spread that word out, really, don't we? Because that's so important. Thank you for sharing that. That was so lovely.
Oh, welcome anytime.
I feel like
I love it. Like,
oh, go on.
No, go on. Go.
Oh, I'm going to ask the question about like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. You don't actually know what question I'm going to ask. I hope it's the right one now.
I've got a rough idea.
Yeah, that's okay. It's fine. So yeah, obviously, what I like to just say here, thank you for sharing that piece of advice. That's wonderful. I've totally forgotten what I was going to say now. Oh my gosh, ADHD brain.
Where are you going to say, is there anything that you haven't covered that you would like to share with us?
Thank you.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
I'm keeping all of this in, by the way. I'm not cutting any of this out, so just carry on.
I was going to say, we are the most sleek podcast hosts in the history of the known universe. It's great, but Sam's well used to his brain, so it's fine.
That's the question. Is there anything that we haven't covered here today that you would absolutely like to get in there before we finish?
Oh, what? So we went through... Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about, like, you know, this podcast essentially has been, this is my brand, this is me, this is what I'm all about, which has been very useful. I think we've covered most things. I've been pivoting into speaking, into doing a lot more speaking a lot lately, because I like standing in front of a stage and talking about stuff.
Excellent.
Because, yeah, so that's my favourite thing. Well, then, I love coming
people
to
need to... come and talk to you, because I think you'll be fabulous on people's stages, like sharing
that. I think so too. And that helps when you believe in yourself. That's another thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like that. That's good reminder.
Be your own best friend. If you wouldn't say it to your best friend, you don't say it to you. And when you've got your own back, you've got your own back, then you can't really fail.
Fabulous. I love that. Yeah, oh, that's a lot. Yes. Can you, before you go, tell us where we can find you? Where can we get more? We have a little section on our show notes where we'll put all the links and everything. But share with us where we can get more Sam in our lives, please.
Well, luckily, my name is quite peculiar, Samantha Damatos. So that's pretty much my website is www.samanthadamatos.com. My Facebook is Samantha Damatos. My Instagram is Samantha Damatos. My LinkedIn is Samantha Damatos. My TikTok, I think, is S Damatos. I can't remember. It might be S,
but it's still like got a peculiar bit in it,
well,
so it's good.
Yeah. So
I'll find it and link it. That's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. You can link all those. But those are where my things are. I've been on LinkedIn. I've been trying to kind of build up my LinkedIn a bit more, because I want to do more speaking, and that's obviously like corporate aimed and that sort of thing and stuff like that. But my TikTok is a lot of my rambles of this sort of nature, and my Facebook and Instagram are sort of halfway between the two.
Love it. So,
perfect. Do you have a preference? Is there somewhere you would prefer people to follow you if they have all of them, or are you quite happy just with whatever suits people?
So the TikTok sometimes has video game related stuff on it as well. The TikTok is where I kind of do all of my ramblings, regardless of whether they're related to my work or not. Facebook and Instagram are kind of they're kind of more for if you want to see my branded stuff, but still with quite a lot of personality. I don't do overly professional, because I can't. Actually, I think my last video, the last video I think I posted was me saying, is this an ADHD thing or not? That I can't differentiate between me at work and me not at work? Is this not, because when people say, oh, he might be different, but when he's at home, I'm like, how? How do you have the space for two personalities?
How do you physically do that?
No.
I'm going to slot in at this point that Sam also writes incredibly well about all of this stuff. Only because I'm very aware that when I had a day job, I couldn't watch videos, I couldn't listen to music, because I was in a shared office and I didn't have headphones. And so in order for me to like research stuff on the quiet, or even read stuff I want, or look at this kind of stuff, it had to be written, which is one of the reasons we always do quite comprehensive show notes, so that people have the option. Partly because obviously accessibility options, that's nice. Partly because I know that some people need to see this stuff. And so if you're looking at it and going, but I'd love to listen to your ramblings, but I can't listen to that in my
Medium
or at home or whatever.
She writes
incredibly, and the writing is it sounds like you, like you're one of those rare people that writes like you speak, and I love it. So yeah.
I do have a book. I should talk about the book.
You do have a bloody book. We should talk about the bloody book. It's amazing.
I always forget I've got the book. The book I wrote when I wrote the book in COVID lockdown, because I was like, well, I ain't got anything else to do. What I did was, because coaching is so expensive, which makes it really inaccessible to a lot of people, particularly the people who, generally the people who really need a lot of help, you know, because coaching is not cheap. So I kind of wrote the book and brought together loads of coaching exercises and into the book, it's called if you search Samantha Dematos on Amazon, you'll find it. Can't remember its name because I've got ADHD.
It's fine, don't worry.
It's got a dragon. It's got your dragon on the front. About, I know that much.
The self coaching workbook for clarity and direction.
Ooh.
That's the one. There we go.
I mean, no wonder you couldn't remember it then for a moment. It's a good name.
But it goes through.
I own two copies of it, but I don't look at the front very much. I tend to look at what's inside it, hence also struggling with the title.
Yeah. I sent it to Carla to photograph for me and then accidentally signed it in big black letters on the front of the page and then realised it went right through to the front. And I was like, oh, whoops. Well, I have to send you two then.
So now I have two copies.
Well, I might have to have a little nose through that when I'm there, Carla, because that sounds like fabulous. Yeah. I'd love to have a little peek. Yes.
Definitely.
What it does is it kind of helps it helps people kind of like to kind of like figure out kind of like their identity and then kind of going forward kind of ideas they might want to kind of go forward and sort of get started in kind of thinking about the things that are important to them and where they might want to take their lives. So.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you squeezed that one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It feels very aligned. Well, all of Sam's work is very aligned. She's nothing if not on brand.
Yeah.
But the world needs you to be you. It definitely feels like if you're wondering a little bit about what is me, where am I, who am I? And that could be that, you know, you used to know who you were and then you know, life throws shit at you. It's a really good recentering. She's a very good, and go talk to her. She's a fabulous coach as well. But yeah, no, I just want to put in as well.
Go on.
Coaching is expensive, but I think it should be because you guys bring skills and stuff to it. But I love that you've made an accessible version as well.
It is very me to completely forget about a big deal because I'll kind of have a whole conversation about anything else. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I won an Oscar yesterday. And everyone will go, what? And I'm just like, oh yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
I love it.
I feel like this is very classic ADHD though, so I'm quite enjoying. Yeah. I'm enjoying that all of us forgot about that. So really,
Sam,
good.
Thank you so much. Been brilliant. You've been so good. Thank you.
Super that's okay. Inspiring. I've been really excited about coming on, and because I actually asked Carla, I asked you about a year and a half ago, can I be in your podcast? And you were just like, yes, but we've just finished filming the last season, so you're gonna have to wait.
And, it's the only later. Thing in my life that I do that far in advance, but only because Sarah is ADHD, we think, and there's definitely a level of like planning that goes into our joint stuff that would not happen if it was just left down to me. I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, like, cool, let's talk next week. But we have plans and schedules and everything.
I would just like
Sarah
to point out
has
though,
this wonderful side that I don't have.
Yeah, I would also like to point out though, it's really fucking hard when you really want to plan and then you can't follow the plan through. So just putting that out there too.
There's some inner battles going on there, but yeah. No, but thank you. It's wonderful to focus. Obviously, we have like Sam and I always have really good chats, but really sporadically at really random times, and it's been really nice to share you with the world because I think more of the world needs more Sam in their lives.
Absolutely.
So, cool. Definitely. Thanks.
Well,
dude.
Thank you everyone for listening. This has been wonderful.
Absolutely. I hope you are as buzzing and like more 15 really? Different ideas going on in your head as I am, because I am discombobulated in a really good way.
Yes.
Good word. And we will see you guys next. Yeah, Sam, thank you so much. Yes. And we will see you guys next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening. We'd love for you to rate us, review us, and subscribe on your favourite podcast app.
5 stars, please. Where can people find us online?
We're on Facebook and Instagram, at Creative Reboot Co, and we'd love to see you over there.
And you can also go to our website, creativereboot.co, where you can subscribe to our mailing list and get in touch with us if you fancy being a guest or have topics that you want us to chat about. We'll look forward to seeing you there.